Today is the 25th day of December, the 359th day of this year, Christmas Day, the 20th Christmas Day in the Daily Audio Bible history here around the Global Campfire. Merry Christmas, everybody, from us to you. And I'll let my wife, Jill, bring us into the celebration. Merry Christmas, everybody. I am so grateful to be here with you today to take another step forward Because no matter what day it is, there is another step forward to take as we navigate our way through the scriptures. So this is a special day. It's Christmas Day, but it's another day and another step forward. And so let's take it together by going back to where we left off. And today, Zechariah chapter 8. Then another message came to me from the Lord of Heaven's armies. This is what the Lord of Heaven's armies says. My love for Mount Zion is passionate and strong. I am consumed with passion for Jerusalem. And now the Lord says, I am returning to Mount Zion, and I will live in Jerusalem. Then Jerusalem will be called the Faithful City. The mountain of the Lord of Heaven's armies will be called the Holy Mountain. This is what the Lord of Heaven's army says. Once again, old men and women will walk Jerusalem's streets with their canes and will sit together in the city squares. And the streets of the city will be filled with boys and girls at play. This is what the Lord of Heaven's army says. All this may seem impossible to you now, a small remnant of God's people. But is it impossible for me? Says the Lord of Heaven's armies. This is what the Lord of Heaven's army says. You can be sure that I will rescue my people from the east and from the west. I will bring them home again to live safely in Jerusalem. They will be my people, and I will be faithful and just toward them as their God. This is what the Lord of Heaven's army says. Be strong and finish the task. Ever since the laying of the foundation of the temple of the Lord of Heaven's armies, you have heard what the prophets have been saying about completing the building. Before the work on the temple began, there were no jobs and no money to hire people or animals. No traveler was safe from the enemy, for there were enemies on all sides. I had turned everyone against each other. But now, I will not treat the remnant of my people as I treated them before, says the Lord of Heaven's armies. For I am planting seeds of peace and prosperity among you. The grapevines will be heavy with fruits. The earth will produce its crops, and the heavens will release the dew. Once more, I will cause the remnant in Judah and Israel to inherit these blessings. Among the other nations, Judah and Israel became symbols of a cursed nation, but no longer. Now, I will rescue you and make you both a symbol and a source of blessing. So don't be afraid. Be strong and get on with rebuilding the temple. For this is what the Lord of Heaven's army says. I was determined to punish you when your ancestors angered me, and I did not change my mind, says the Lord of Heaven's armies. But now I am determined to bless Jerusalem and the people of Judah. So don't be afraid. But this is what you must do. Tell the truth to each other. Render verdicts in your courts that are just and that lead to peace. Don't scheme against each other. Stop your love of telling lies that you swear are the truth. I hate all these things, says the Lord. Here is another message that came to me from the Lord of Heaven's armies. This is what the Lord of Heaven's armies says. The traditional fasts and times of mourning you have kept in early summer, midsummer, autumn, and winter are now ended. They will become festivals of joy and celebration for the people of Judah. So love, truth, and peace. This is what the Lord of Heaven's army says. People from nations and cities around the world will travel to Jerusalem. The people of one city will say to the people of another, come with us to Jerusalem to ask the Lord to bless us. Let's worship the Lord of Heaven's armies. I'm determined to go. Many peoples and powerful nations will come to Jerusalem to seek the Lord of Heaven's armies and to ask for his blessing. This is what the Lord of Heaven's armies says. In those days, 10 men from different nations and languages of the world will clutch at the sleeve of one Jew, and they will say, "Please let us walk with you, for we have heard that God is with you." Revelation 16. Then I heard a mighty voice from the temple say to the 7 angels, "Go your ways and pour out on the earth the 7 bowls containing God's wrath." So the first angel left the temple and poured out his bowl on the earth, and horrible, malignant sores broke out on everyone who had the mark of the beast and who worshipped his statue. And the second angel poured out his bowl on the sea, and it became like the blood of a corpse, and everything in the sea died. And the third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and springs, and they became blood. And I heard the angel who had authority over all water saying, "You are just, O Holy One, who is and who always was, because you have sent these judgments. Since they shed the blood of your holy people and your prophets, you have given them blood to drink. It is their just reward." And I heard a voice from the altar saying, "Yes, O Lord God, the Almighty, your judgments are true and just." Then the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, causing it to scorch everyone with its fire. Everyone was burned by this blast of heat, and they cursed the name of God who had control over all these plagues. They did not repent of their sins and turn to God and give him glory. And the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom was plunged into darkness. His subjects ground their teeth in anguish, and they cursed the God of heaven for their pains and sores. But they did not repent of their evil deeds and turn to God. Then the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great Euphrates River, and it dried up so that the kings from the east could march their armies toward the west without hindrance. And I saw 3 evil spirits that looked like frogs leap from the mouths of the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. They are demonic spirits who work miracles and go out to all the rulers of the world to gather them for battle against the Lord on that great judgment day of God the Almighty. Look, I will come as unexpectedly as a thief. Blessed are all who are watching for me, who keep their clothing ready, so they will not have to walk around naked and ashamed. And the demonic spirits gathered all the rulers and their armies to a place with the Hebrew name, Armageddon. Then the 7th angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a mighty shout came from the throne in the temple saying, "It is finished." Then the thunder crashed and rolled, and lightning flashed, and a great earthquake struck, the worst since people were placed on the earth. The great city of Babylon split into 3 sections, and the cities of many nations fell into heaps of rubble. So God remembered all of Babylon's sins, and he made her drink the cup that was filled with the wine of his fierce wrath. And every island disappeared, and all the mountains were leveled. There was a terrible hailstorm, and hailstones weighing as much as 75 pounds fell from the sky onto the people below. They cursed God because of the terrible plague of the hailstorm. Psalm 144, a psalm of David. Praise the Lord, who is my rock. He trains my hands for war and gives my fingers skill for battle. He is my loving ally and my fortress, my tower of safety, my rescuer. He is my shield, and I take refuge in him. He makes the nations submit to me. O Lord, what are human beings that you should notice them? Mere mortals that you should think about them? For they are like a breath of air. Their days are like a passing shadow. Open the heavens, Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains so they billow smoke. Hurl your lightning bolts and scatter your enemies. Shoot your arrows and confuse them. Reach down from heaven and rescue me. Rescue me from deep waters, from the power of my enemies. Their mouths are full of lies. They swear to tell the truth, but they lie instead. I will sing a new song to you, O God. I will sing your praises with a 10-stringed harp. For you grant victory to kings. You rescued your servant David from the fatal sword. Save me. Rescue me from the power of my enemies. Their mouths are full of lies. They swear to tell the truth, but they lie instead. May our sons flourish in their youth like well-nurtured plants. May our daughters be like graceful pillars carved to beautify a palace. May our barns be filled with crops of every kind. May the flocks in our fields multiply by the thousands, even tens of thousands. And may our oxen be loaded down with produce. May there be no enemy breaking through our walls, no going into captivity, no cries of alarm in our town squares. Yes, joyful are those who live like this. Joyful indeed are those whose God is the Lord. Proverbs 30, 29 through 31. There are three things that walk with stately stride. No, four that strut about. The lion, king of animals, who won't turn aside for anything. The strutting rooster, the male goats. A king as he leads his army. Okay, so today is Christmas. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to you. I'm grateful that we have just these minutes that we can come together and spend just a few minutes together. Around Christmas, I wish you a very Merry Christmas. Billions of people throughout the world are celebrating the arrival of the baby Jesus today. And so we probably find ourselves with warm hearts. If not yet, soon to be full bellies, probably. Likely no shortage of crinkled wrapping paper all over the place, and our hearths, our fireplaces, burning a nice glowing fire, keeping us warm. Maybe our lawns are adorned with scenes of the nativity or of some Christmas scene of sorts. Joy is supposed to be all around us. Joy to the whole world. And we probably can feel some of that. Even still, though, we might sense some feelings that don't feel completely congruent with joy to the world. We might still, underneath it all, if we step into, you know, the bedroom for a minute, or into a closet, or into the bathroom for a minute, just for a minute of solitude for a second, and we get still and we get quiet, we're really happy and there's a lot going on and it's really beautiful and it's a really wonderful day and it comes and it goes so fast that we're holding on to the moments. And yet if we get still and there is this deep sense of longing underneath it all, and that can seem strange. It has been the way of life for me. I used to just call it the Christmas blues for some reason, because I, and we probably can feel the genuine merriment, very much true happiness, and we actually genuinely feel that. So it can seem confusing to sense that something is still missing from a day we worked so hard to make perfect and joyful. And so what is that sense of longing about? Because the whole Advent season that led us to this place was to actually give language and voice and acknowledgement to that feeling underneath it all. We're reading in the book of Revelation, and so today, like, we're discussing seven angels pouring out seven bowls of God's wrath upon the earth. And the destruction that was brought upon the earth is hard to read. It's staggering to comprehend, hard to fathom, hardly like a Christmas feeling story. But maybe there's some clues there that can give us some kind of explanation for this sense of melancholy, this longing underneath it all. Before the arrival, or the advent of Jesus, people had long been anticipating, long been crying out to God and yearning for the Anointed One, a deliverer. It was woven together with their own deep sense that something was missing, that things were not as they should be, as they were supposed to be. And that was a part of their apocalyptic worldview. And we've discussed this many times. And we're seeing the apocalyptic worldview clearly in Revelation. What we are reading of in Revelation today is the ultimate destruction of every evil force set against this baby, Jesus, this Christ child who grew and is now the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's not something that we should shudder in fear about. It's not God's wrath and anger to destroy people because he's so mad at people. It's the eradication of deception and evil that have plagued people in order for things to ever be as they should be. In order for that underlying longing and melancholy and desire for things to be made right, evil must be utterly annihilated. And we are reading about the fulfillment of this longing inside. The return of perfect Shalom. So if you feel a little low sometime today, can be for all kinds of reasons. Jill and I recognize that as artists, we can be brooding types of people at different points in our journey, and we even try to put a video out yesterday just for those, because we know, we hear it every year. We know that this is supposed to be the most wonderful time of the year, but it for some is almost impossible to navigate through. It's because of betrayal, because of loss, because of grief, because of trauma, because of shock, because of all kinds of reasons that amount to tremendous loss that is really, really hard to absorb. So we stand with you. We are not completely oblivious to those feelings at all. We have drunk from the cup, to be certain. So we stand with you, but if you at any point in this day find yourself kind of a little low, lots of reasons can bring that anxiety about the future, and remorse and regrets about the past. Man, even a sugar crash can bring you low. So there's lots of things that can bring us down, but if we'll tap into it, we'll find that this isn't so abnormal. Things are not perfectly as they should be, and we know it so deeply. But we also are longing and celebrating. And one day, all things will be restored. All things will be made new, including us. One day, the brokenness will heal. One day, the regret will fade. One day, the trauma will start to ease. One day, the grief will lighten. One day, things will be as they were intended to be. One day, all things will be made new again. And so holding on to that hope, with light in our hearts together, I so wish sometimes that we could stand around the global campfire on Christmas Eve together. It would be stadiums full of us, and just light a candle, right? Just hold the Christmas candle in the dark and in the silence. So maybe we can just picture that right now. And no matter what we are feeling, and no matter what is going on today, just imagine a sea of us together holding candles, just standing together. We're not filling the world with words. We're just absorbing the moment together in solidarity. We are together. And we are feeling what we are feeling, but we are together. And light will shine in the darkness. And one day all things will be new. So Merry Christmas, my brothers, my sisters, whom I love so deeply. I'm so grateful for. May we carry forward this spirit of Christmas. May we bring light and feel light. May we bring life and feel life. May we bring good news and feel the good news. I am Brian. I love you. I wish you a very Merry Christmas.
Oh.